Yesterday, in the Kriyas HaTorah, Parshas Re'eh comes out either, most of the time it is Shabbos Mevarchim Elul, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, when we bench Rosh Chodesh. This year it happened to come out on Rosh Chodesh itself, but it will always be one of the two. Either the Shabbos immediately before Elul or Rosh Chodesh Elul. And as we don't believe in any accidents, so these are, this order is always, that was designed to be this way, so the Svar Magdashim look for Psukim in the Parsha that point to the themes of El. So, I would like to ponder with you the Pasuk, chapter 14, Pasuk 1. Bonim atem l'Hashem l'kechem. You are children of Hashem, your God. There's a prohibition against mourning exceedingly, ripping one's hair, tearing one's skin. Because you are a holy nation to Hashem, your God, and it is you that Hashem chose to be his treasured nation, Mikola Amim, from all the nations, Asher al Pnei Adam. Bonim atem l'Hashem l'kechem. Your children. So, let's focus a little bit on how that's consistent with the theme of Elul. We discussed yesterday afternoon that the Arizal tells us that each month has a tziruv, has a combination, a structure of the four letters of Hashem's name, which is unique to that month. And that the name of the month of Elul, hey, and then Vav, and then Yud, comes from the Pasuk in Devarim chapter 6, Pasuk 25. Tzedakah tiyalanu, ki nishmar lasos es kol mitzvah zos. It will be considered tzedakah for us if we will guard to do all this mitzvahs, lifnei Hashem elokeinu kashitzivanu, before Hashem our God, as he commanded us. And the last letters of Utsdaka Tia Lanuki, those four letters spell this name of the month of Elul. So the Bnei Yisachar and many other Svarim discuss that there's a lesson here that tells us about the nature of the month and what we're supposed to do with this month of Elul in order to really fulfill that the idea of the shame. So what's interesting is that you look into the different flavors of the different thinkers throughout the ages. And they talk about how from the moment the month of Elul was declared, there was trembling and fear. And then you see that all the Dershir Shumas say, where do you find the acronym of Elul? You find it in Shir HaShirim, in this love song between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Pasuk, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. Which hardly speaks of trembling and fear. So it seems like there's something going on here which is a kind of a dual track. And how do you live in both of those worlds at the same time? A world of Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, where the focus is my loving relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and at the same time, there is an upcoming Day of Judgment, Yom HaDin. So, I believe that there are two schools of thought in our Torah observance. Let me put it to you in the share with you a Sefer Ikrim, interestingly. Here's the Baal Akedah, and here's the Baal Akedah. Says there's a very enigmatic Gemara. The Gemara in Brachis, it's the Baal Akedah. The Gemara in Brachis, Daf Ches, says, Godel Hanehenna Miyigiyoi, someone who takes pleasure in their toil, is greater than a Yirei Shamayim, than someone who fears heaven. Because by Yirei Shamayim it says in Tehillim, Ashrei Ish Yireas Hashem, fortunate is the person who fears God. But by a Nehenna Migia Chapai, by a person who enjoys the toil of his own hands, it says Yigia Chapecho Kiseich Al Ashrecho V'Teiflach, the toil of your palms you will eat, it will be good, and fortunate you, it will be good for you. Ashrecha by the Mazer, it will be good for you in this world. It will be good for you in the world to come. But by a God-fearing person, it only says Ashrecha. It doesn't say that it will be good for you in the world to come. Simple reading of the Chazal means that somebody who is God-fearing is a good guy. But if you work hard and you make a living, then you're really special. What's the shaykhis between one another? We're comparing two things that have no relationship with one another. So the Baal Akedah makes an observation which has huge ramifications. He says that there are two types of servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are people who come to a recognition that they need to serve Hashem because it's true, because it's right, and these are my obligations. They are a Yirei Shamayim. They are truly God-fearing people. But then there's a different type of relationship. There's a person who not only does it, he says, but is a Nehenna Miyigia Chapai. On top of doing it, he also enjoys it. So it's actually referring to the very same service. The question is, what's going into it? Is the person doing it because he knows that he's obligated to do it? And he's very observant because of that? He does everything he needs to do. Precise. All of their obligations. But it's just that. It's an obligation. Or does the person see their observance of Torah and mitzvahs as the most fortunate, exciting, lucky me experience in the world? Now here are some of the side effects. Side effect number one, the Baditchavurv writes in Kedushas Levi, several different places, where one of them is about me, and the other one is God-focused. So if the issue is that I have my obligations, so, you know, I got to do what I got to do, and it's my obligations that I need to fulfill. Whereas a person who really enjoys it because they're bringing to the Almighty anachas ruach. It's about the pleasure that they're able to bring to Hashem Yisbarach. And one of the differences will be how much interest I have in someone else's success in serving Hashem. If it's about me, then my focus is entirely upon me. Whereas if somebody is a Nehenna Miyigia Chapai, it's Geshmak, I enjoy it, then as far as I'm concerned, this isn't about me, it's about the Ribbono Shel, and if as many people as I can get to taste, as the Pasuk says, Tamu Ru'u Ki Tov Hashem, taste it and you'll see how sweet it is, if it's about the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to get as many people as I can to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, almost to the point where if a situation arises and it becomes a question as to whether I should do the mitzvah or somebody else should do the mitzvah, it's not going to make a difference. If I can enable somebody else to do it, maybe the other person will do it better than I. Whereas if it's about me, I'm going to grab the opportunity first. You know, I have to chaperine all of the world to come for myself. There's no room for anybody else. That's one side effect. A second side effect will be, to what extent is a person going to invest, anticipate, prepare, enhance a mitzvah? If it's, I got to do my obligation, so I'm going to do whatever I have to do. If I see it, however, as an awesome opportunity, then I'm going to bring to it as much enhancement and preparation and yearning and anticipation as I possibly can, because imagine if we pictured that our lives would have been worth the entirety of all the pain and misery and difficulty and all this stuff just to live for this one moment, to do this one mitzvah. And that might be the case. Right? Now, what would that mitzvah performance look like? So that's the second side effect. There are many, but that's a second side effect, is what kind of attitude, what kind of atmosphere goes on surrounding the performance of our mitzvahs. The third side effect is going to be the ripple effect. Meaning, how is my performance going to affect people around me? There used to be a generation that had a phrase in Yiddish, "Ois shvei tzayin agid." It's difficult to be Jewish. And that generation was very observant. They did what they needed to do. But their children really had very little interest in that burden. What's in it for them? And they looked for the first opportunity to get out. Whereas a person who sees it as a privilege, so the next generation certainly wants part in that privilege. My mother told me that Erev Shabbos, she was speaking to her oldest brother, who told her that he had gone and he was in Miami, and he went for a. He and the Bovarov have become fast friends, which is a very unlikely couple. And the 48. So the Bovarov shared with him, they were talking about aging and how difficult it is to transition and recognize limitations of what we can no longer do. So he shared with him, his father lived to 94 years old, and at each stage of his becoming older, he said his father had no such adjustments. Because at each stage, he said, if I can't do that avoda, it's fine, so I'll move on to whatever avoda I can do. Like, why sit and waste energy focusing on the things that I can no longer do? There are so many things that I can do. I told my mother that I thought that it was not a fair assessment, because that whole period of aging for him was the last 5 years of his life. Up until age 89, he really did not suffer any of the side effects of aging. He was vibrant and he had a very good gene pool. But one of the things that attracted the magnet that attracted so many people to him was that excitement and that passion. You know, there's a Rav in Florida, talk about unlikely couples, Rabbi Avram Chaim Feuer, wrote a bunch of several art scroll books. He is a son-in-law of Rav Gifter, Zichar de Lebracha. He's a rabbi in Florida. I think he took over the shul where Tzvi Shur was rabbi. Anyway, he comes from Lithuanian stock, and he all of a sudden appeared on the scene, and he used to come to Baba Chalamayid, and somebody, he was flying from Florida. So somebody asked him, what's up with this? So he said, I'll tell you the truth. He said, the Baba Rav used to vacation in Florida. And one Matzoy Shabbos, I came in, was curious. I came in after Havdalah. And many have a minig after Havdalah to say the psukim of Yitin Lecha, it's printed in the Siddur, the brachas that we could get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, and even the people that say it usually, you know, mumble their way through V'yitin Lecha. And he said, I watched week after week after week the passion and the excitement, and he had a whole niggin with it. It was a whole production, this saying V'yitin Lecha. So he said to me, it was so foreign, but yet it was so vibrant, it was so real, it was so exciting, that it drew him in. And he, you know, for the last 15 years of his life, he would come around and you know, kind of draw from that spring. There's an aspect that wants to be emulated. If it is something that we believe is beautiful, that's geschmack, that's fulfilling, perhaps that's exhilarating, then it's something that others want to take part in. So, says the Baal Akedah, that enahena miyegiach apoy, that there are two types of Jews. There's a Jew who's a Yirei Shamayim, he's a God-fearing Jew, he does everything he needs to do. And about him, the Pasuk says, Ashrecha, fortunate are you. Do everything right. But there's another person. And that's a person who's a Nehenem Miyegiach Apoy. That's a person who not only is doing it, but on top of doing it, they're enjoying it. That person is Ashrecha Ba'ilam Azeh V'Tev L'Chol La'ilam Abah. That person enjoys it in this world and then reaps the benefit in the world to come, because even after he's long gone from the scene, there are going to be people who are going to be emulating their actions because of the fact that they found it so geschmack. The concept of hachana lemitzvah, of mitzvah prep, of being involved ourselves in the preparation of our mitzvahs, is a really fundamental component of this issue. Because if it is, well, I got to do what I got to do, so whatever I don't have to do, I don't have to do. Right? If I can buy it, if I can get somebody else to do it, save myself the time, you know, that's the way it is. Whereas if I see it as a sense of privilege, then it's unlikely that I'm going to delegate any component of it unless I need to. I could do it all myself. And why would I possibly give away that opportunity to someone else if it's part of my service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I've shared with you dozens of times the Svasemis, who says on Mishareisam Tzureis B'Simleisam, that which affects change in people is not the actual mitzvah performance, but the preparation for the mitzvah and the cherishing of the mitzvah and the joy that one brings to a mitzvah. That's what has the ability of transforming us. we view Maamad Har Sinai as a there's a very good English word for it that's escaping me right now, but as a chunk of an experience, meaning everybody had this equal revelation. Nasa v'nishma, we all did it together. It was this all one size fits all Maamad Har Sinai. Chazal tell us otherwise. Chazal tell us that each person experienced Maamad Har Sinai to the degree that they prepared for it. In fact, the entire concept of preparation for mitzvah comes from Maamad Har Sinai. Hashem summoned Moshe Rabbeinu, told him to go down to Klal Yisrael and tell them to prepare for Maamad Har Sinai. And Chazal tell us that each person's revelation, each person's experience was subject and commensurate with what they brought in the preparation to it. That was the level of revelation. So that everybody had a revelation. But as far as the quality, as far as the clarity that went on, that was subject to the preparation that went into it. What they had was what they brought to it, their preparation. I remember seeing somewhere that Reb Shila Belzer says on Leman Yirbu Yemechem Yemei V'nechem Alo Adom HaShanish V'Hashem Avisechem L'Seis L'Chem Kimei HaShemayim Alo Aretz. We say in the second parsha of Krishna, in order to increase your days and the days of your children like the days of heaven on earth. What in the world does that mean? Kimei HaShemayim Alo Aretz, like the days of heaven are on earth. So Shila Belzer says this Yisoid, that Hashem is telling us, I want you to practice your Yiddishkeit in such a way that when you're long gone, when you're in heaven, there should still be people al ha'aretz, there should still be people on planet Earth who are practicing their Yiddishkeit because they once saw your passion and your excitement that you were able to bring to your mitzvah performance. Kimei HaShemayim al ha'aretz, like the days of heaven are still going on Earth. In after davening, we say in Avodah Tzion. So one of the tefillahs that we conclude there is Hu Yiftach Libeinu B'Sayrosi. Hashem should open our hearts with His Torah. V'yosim B'Libeinu Ahavosiv Yerosi. He should place in our hearts His love and His fear. V'lasayis Ritzoinai, to do His will. U'la'avda, and to serve Him. B'Levav Shalem, with a whole heart. So that we won't toil for naught, and we won't give birth libahala for nothing. And the Bavruv suggests that that's what this tefillah is, that we should serve in such a way that even after we have departed, that there's still someone who remembers the way we did something and that they would want to emulate that performance. And that stems from serving belevav shalem, from serving with a whole heart, not out of obligation, but out of privilege, with joy and a sense of geschmack. What occurred to me by davening this morning was that perhaps that's what this pasuk is referring to when it comes to Elul. Elul, the Apterov says in Ayv Yisrael, is a month of preparation. It's a month of Achana. We have a month coming up where we're going to have mitzvahs like they're going out of style. Starting from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aser Yimei Tshuva, Sukkah, you name it, we have mitzvahs right and left. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo gives us a month, and I believe that the Ani L'Doidi is a message of, you know, take a minute out to think about that relationship. Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li means to the degree that I'm invested in that relationship, to that degree is the Rebbeinu Shlomo invested in me. And the way to see that is in the wealth of opportunities to connect that the Rebbeinu Shlomo gives us during the month of Tishrei. So Hashem says to us, "Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem." There is a relationship of a servant to a king who's obligated to do. And there's a service of a child to a parent who does because they want to do. Exclude teenagers from that calculation, right? Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. If we would see ourselves as children of Hashem, our God, the result would be mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, has a whole different affect. Because the separation between the living and the dead is not as permanent, is not as real. Because it's Kimei Hashemayim al Haaretz, we're going to continue carrying on a legacy that we saw. And therefore, when it's permanent, people are tempted to tear their skin, to rip out their hair, to do all kinds of crazy things in reaction to that mourning. But if we're carrying on something beyond the grave, then it's not over. And it may never be over. Because that's something that continues generation after generation. And therefore, there's no reason to mourn. It's interesting, the Sfasemis makes a very, very biting... takes a very biting lesson out of this. He says... He says, a Jew needs to recognize that their neshamas are foreigners in this world. The Jewish neshama belongs tachas kisei hakavod, basking in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Gan Eden. For some reason, the Almighty decided that it would be a good idea to take it and put it into a body for 60, 70, 80 years, whatever it is. And then the neshama goes back to where it really belongs. Somebody who mourns excessively, the statement they're making is that they really believe that the neshama belongs here. It doesn't belong up there. He says, "Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, kindolach. You guys are my children. You guys are a neshama. Don't mourn excessively." Because that mourning points to the fact that you see the body as primary and the neshama as secondary. And it's just the opposite. So there's this kapitel that we started saying this morning, each day of Elul, L'David Hashem Oyri V'Yishi. And there, David HaMelech writes, he concludes the kapitel, "Lule hemanti lirois b'tuv Hashem b'eretz Chaim." Who has an English one here? I'm gonna destroy this. Let's see how Art Scroll translates. "Had I not trusted that I would see the goodness of Hashem in the land of life. Had I not trusted that I would see the goodness of Hashem in the land of life, hope to Hashem. Strengthen yourself and He'll give you courage and hope to Hashem. Lulei, turn the word around. Lulei, Lamed Vav, Lamed Aleph. Spells Elul. Right? Lulei Hamanti. If we believe in the message of Elul, that the Rebbeinu Shlom not only gave us these obligatory mitzvahs, but gives us the opportunity and the privilege to serve and to prepare a whole month to prepare for those mitzvahs. The sound of the shofar calls our attention to what's coming. The result of that will be Liras Betuv Hashem Be'eretz Chaim. We're going to continue seeing the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in the land of the living. This isn't the land of the living. This is the land of the dead. There are far more dead people on planet Earth than there are living people. If you do the math, the number of people who are buried versus the people who are alive. And unfortunately, if you do an analysis of the people who are walking around versus the people who are living, they're also far more dead people than living people. What do they call them? The living dead? Right? Lule amanti liris bituv Hashem be'eretz achayim. If we trust, if we get the message of Elul, the message of Elul that the value is in the privilege of serving, then it doesn't end. Then the opportunities continue to mount and to pile up. Be'eretz Chaim, long after we're gone. I've shared with you in the past this concept of a misaira. It's a very neat thing for people who are Bali Darshanim. They like speaking. And the Balaturim very often will share, well, if there's a common word that's found in different places in Tanakh, so the Balaturim says there's a misaira. Misaira means that this is handed down from Har Sinai, that these three words have a common source. Now, it's a word that can be found 1,000 times, but if it's found here, here, and here, that there's you're supposed to find the common theme. Very often the Balaturim himself will tell you what it's pointing towards. And of course, those become extremely fertile ground for people who want to darshan a Masara. So let me share with you a Masara. The Balaturim brings that it says, it's talking about building the Mishkan. It says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to see and make them in the same form that you saw at Har Sinai. So evidently Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu a 3D multimedia presentation at Har Sinai of what the Mishkan and the Klei Mishkan were going to look like. And Hashem said, okay, I want you to go now and imitate what you saw on that PowerPoint presentation that I showed you. That's one Ura'e. The second Ura'e is in Tilim 139, Pasuk 24. Ura'e im derech oitzev bi unecheni b'derech oilam. I should prepare this for him ahead of time. And you will say, you will see if this is being done im derech oitzev bi with sadness. Unecheni b'derech oilam, because I will go the way of the world. Referring to one's passing. The third one is in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Tes, Pasuk 128, Kapitel 128, Pasuk 6. Ure'e vanim livanecha, shalom al Yisrael. When you see children to your children, there's peace to Klal Yisrael. It's a great song for those words, right? So I'll first tell you what the Bava Rav said, and then I'll tell you what I said. The Bava Rav darshan this to say as follows, that, and again, this is not something that we generally are privy to, but the Yerushalmi says that Matan Torah was a hopping place. That the joy that went on by Matan Torah was something that the Rebbeinu Shalom exclaimed. He said at the time, the Hashem exclaimed, Halavai, they would be on this level at all times. Right? And the Yerushalmi says, Sibchasei refers to the joy. Usually we hear about the trembling. We don't hear about the joy. The Yerushalmi focuses very much on the joy that went, that took place by Matan Torah. So he said, Hashem was telling Klal Yisrael, I want you to practice Yiddishkeit with that affect all the time. You should see and do it in the image that you saw by Matan Torah. Just like then, there was no question. Why? Because Hashem introduced the whole thing, Matan Tili, Mamlechas Kohanim, V'gai Kodesh, you're going to be a holy nation, a priestly nation, you're going to be Segula Mikol HaAmim. You get all the perks of becoming the Amanivcha. Klal Yisrael was passionately excited about being the chosen nation, right? So Hashem says to him, I want you to look. And perhaps that's the reason, one of the six mitzvahs that we're supposed to remember every day, is one of them is, don't ever forget Maamad Har Sinai. Don't ever forget what took place at Har Sinai. Because it becomes the source for this sense of privilege. And as a result of that, Klal Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishmer, whatever you want. We're here to do it because this is great. This is awesome. So it wasn't a burden. It was whatever you want, right? That's the first urei. The second rei is the result of that. Urei, you're going to see, im derech haitzavi, that there's not going to be any sadness in my service. Even when I go on to the next world, why not? Comes the third one and says, because you're going to have grandchildren that are going to be practicing in the same vein, in the same spirit as your practice because of your attitude. That's how he interpreted those three ureis. I would like to explain them along the derech of the message of El. The source for preparation for mitzvahs, as we were discussing, comes from Matan Torah. That's where Hashem introduced the concept. Although I heard an awesome thought. You ever think about this? There's a very bad Jewish joke. You ever, there's a record of these really classic Jewish jokes of a guy on his deathbed, and he says, honey, I want to give the summer home to Jack. And she says, what are you giving it to Jack for? Jack has already two houses. Give it to Sandy. Okay, honey, give it to Sandy. But the car, I want to give to Barry. What are you giving the car to Barry for? Barry has already a car. Give it to the whatever. And this goes on. After four times, he says to her, honey, tell me, who's dying, me or you? Akedas Yitzchak. Who's nisayin? Who gets credit for Akedas Yitzchak? Constantly, Avraham Avinu is given credit for Akedas Yitzchak. Honey, who's dying, me or you? Why is Avraham Avinu given credit for Akedas Yitzchak? It should have been Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the one who stretched out his neck on the Mizbeach. So I heard, I remember from who, Hashem, one of the tzaddikim, Yitzchak didn't find out about the Akedah until the day of the Akedah. Avraham Avinu prepared for 3 days. Hashem said to him already, go ahead, Vayashkim Avraham Babayk. Avraham got up and he started preparing. He saddled his donkey and he was the one who walked for 3 days engulfed in the preparation for this awesome mitzvah. The one who prepares for the mitzvah gets the credit, even if it's somebody else's life that's being taken. It's Avraham Avinu's mitzvah because he prepared for it. And that's El. El is an opportunity. Rebbeinu Shlomo saying to us, I've got your attention. And in fact, in this pasuk, utzdaka tiyalano, the pasuk that the Arizal points out that carries in it the name of Elul. When is it going to be ours, utzdaka tiyalano? When can we master it? When is it something that becomes ours? Ki nishmar, if we will anticipate and yearn, lasis is kala mitzvah, so as to be able to do this mitzvah. When? Lifnei Hashem Elokeinu. Not when the mitzvah comes, but lifnei Hashem Elokeinu, before the time comes. Kasha tzivano, as Hashem commanded us. Then it's ours. Then we master it. Then we show our passion. It becomes ours, not just for us, but for the people around us, and for the people who will emulate us. It becomes stuck at Tielanu. It becomes our mitzvah. Ki nishmer lasis. Nishmer means to wait, to anticipate, to yearn. They tell over that the Blevi Yitzchak Baditch of the first day of Sukkot, he would wait up all night long. It'd be in the Sukkah. He couldn't wait for the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. The next morning, he was so passionately excited that he didn't remember that there was a piece of glass in front of the Esrig. He put his hand straight through the glass to grasp the Esrig. That lesson was taught by Maimed Har Sinai. When Hashem said to Klali, to Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell him to prepare. And as we see by Har Sinai, Chazal tell us that each person received exactly what they prepared for. The guy who walked in with a prefab sukkah and with his menorah with the pop-off tops, and you know that now there was a recent advertisement in one of the magazines. There's a sukkah that you could put up in less than 10 minutes. Have we arrived or what? Rachmana litzlan, look where we've come. There's no value in it. Have your kids put it up.
Who's going to decorate it?
That the point is that there's an attitude of burden. I shared it when I was in the Catskills last week. I got into trouble. I was talking to a frum crowd. So I brought up this idea of the conveniences of Yiddishkeit. And it just was... it was so foreign. And you know that when I meet people, people want to know about the great variety of eateries in Milwaukee. I'm sorry, I'm happy. I think we should be very proud of the fact that we have to make our own challahs. There's just something right about it. By the way, the place I ate in the Catskills last week, the woman I ate, she baked her own challahs in the Catskills, in the bungalow. I was so impressed. Somebody told me today that they're going to press wine for Kiddush. They're going to the farmer's market, they have somebody who's giving them wine for Kiddush. They're going to press the grapes, and they read up on the internet how to make, not wine, they're making grape juice. They're going to pasteurize it so it stays grape juice. But what kind of message does that send to a child? You get your kids together and say, kid, look, we're going to make a hachana for the mitzvah of kiddush. We're going to press our own grapes. They tell over a humorous story that there was a fellow who came to the Satmar Rebbe and was bragging about the fact that in his home, they buy no processed foods whatsoever. They make everything from scratch. Everything. So the Satmar was impressed. He says to him, tell me, what about wine? He says, no, wine we buy. So the Satmar said, I'll tell you why. Everything else, you throw on your wife. So she does the work for your wanting to be from. She would tell you, if you wanted homemade wine, she would tell you to make it. That's why you buy wine. Truer words have never been spoken. Anyway, getting back to the point. Maimed Har Sinai becomes, what's it called? The clarion call, something like that? For Hachana. That's the staging area for this concept of preparation. Hashem told us right at the outset, I want you to understand, Klal Yisrael, to the degree that you prepare, that's what you will get out of it. And that's going to be the case for every godly experience. To the degree that you prepare yourself for it, that will be how much you will get out of it. And I, by the way, don't fall into the trap of the touchy-feely, inspired, goosebump, you fill in the blanks of however you define godly experiences. That's narishkeit, okay? It's not true, it's delusional, it's simply a shaker. We cannot define that experience. People telling you that they feel God, send them to Dr. Zigan. But there's an aspect of it which is that which we will take away from the mitzvah will be a matana from Hashem, it'll be a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When? Kinish malasis, if we prepare for it. Comes the Pasuk and says, what are the telltale simanim? How can we tell when we're into it? Ure'ei, the first thing is Ure'ei ba'asei b'sav nisam, I want you to model after that which I showed you, Bahar, that which I showed you at Mount Sinai, which is, you can see a person's attitude in the preparation. That's number one. Comes the second pasuk in the Messiah and says, Ure'eim derech oitzev biyu n'cheinu b'derech haylam. The second thing is, are you excited about this, or is it a burden? If it's derech oitzev bi, if this becomes something where it's I need to fill in the blanks, then we got to go back to the drawing board. Comes the pasuk says urevanim levanecha. When will you see productivity? Shalom al Yisrael. Going back to what I told you before from the Levev Yitzchak, if you see to it that you're not satisfied when you're the only one serving, but you want to see to it that another Jew should have that same experience, where it's Shalom al Yisrael, when you're just as excited when somebody else accomplishes an act of Torah and Mitzvahs, then you can tell that you're in it for the right reasons. Allow somebody else the privilege to serve as well. Show the excitement, the same excitement, the same passion. When somebody else crosses a milestone, when somebody else takes a step towards serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a real way, show them that passion and that excitement. Banim atem l'Hashem l'Kechem. We're all children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Leitis Gaididu. We're here temporarily. The Rebbe Shalom gives us a window. Hayoyim l'Asoysam. Today we have a window of doing. Umocha l'Kabal Scharam. And when the month of Tishrei comes, that's when we finally get to act upon it. We prepare. There is a wealth of reading material which is available in halacha, in hashkafa, in musar, in chassidus, in whatever form you want it. It's available in whatever language you want it. What we need to bring to it is our time and our attention and our creativity and our love and our passion. And by doing so, we will make it ours. Utzdokati alanu kinish melasis. If we yearn and anticipate and do, then the Rebbeinu Shlomo will bless us all with a healthy, mazel-filled year of hatzlacha and health and naches.